A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
The big burning question of the Gospel on Jesus' time is, who's going to be saved? How do you get saved? Where is that narrow door you got to go through? Big burning question of Jesus. And I know that I am saved. And that's because some weeks ago I went to Father Charlie's bookstore and I bought a Get Out of Hell card. It says, "Get Out of Hell Free Card." This card guarantees that you will go straight to heaven. Signed by Charlie. I am guaranteed salvation.
It's got some connection with God.
There's a tradition in the Redemptorist world, of course, that if you die with the Redemptorist habit on, you have this large black hat with a collar and a big rosary, if you die with a habit on, you'll go straight to heaven. So a lot of our older men, as soon as they got sick, they put that habit on and they never take it off. And they say, "Father, let me wash that." "Oh, no, that's all right." I might have it hanging in my closet just in case. So what is all that about salvation? It's about, what is the divine spark within us? When we're created, God put this divine spark within us, and there it is. And the task of our life is to fire that up, to have you be on fire for the Lord, to choose to choose Christ in the morning every day, to choose to love the church, to choose, "I choose to serve," so that fire gets created. 11 years ago, I came out of our administration. I was in our headquarters, and I was one of the three people in charge of our property. And my job during those years of 2002 to 2008 was taking care of abuse cases. So I had to write the policy for protection of children. If anybody's in trouble, I had to talk to the victims and the perpetrators. And so it was kind of a downtime in my life. When the phone rang, I knew it was not anybody saying, "Hey, you just called to say I love you." Pick up the phone, and it's like another impossible situation. So after 6 years of that, I prayed to God, and he saved me, salvation, and he sent me here to be with you. And this church brought me back to life. My embers were very quiet at times. I had to kind of poke at the fire to make it go up a little bit. You know, the fire of Christ within me was just like little embers. But then you, the congregation, people in the congregation, brought me back to life. It's important to know that you don't give birth to yourself. Somebody else gives birth to you. And all of you, 11 years ago, began to give birth to me. And I thank you for that gift from the bottom of my heart. It's a powerful thing to have the congregation bring you up in life, give birth to you over and over again. It's not just it's people in the congregation. I think about St. Mary, Mary Sullivan. I was going to say St. Mary Sullivan. Mary wanted to do this and do that. And I said, "Well, I don't know, Mary." Well, she said, "No, we're going to have this great Valentine's Day choir. We're going to have this. We're going to do this show at St. Patrick's Day. We're going to do this other party at Christmas time. You can dress up as Santa." I said, "Oh, I don't know about that." Bring it to life, you know. I said, "Don't be a jellyfish. Come on, people." It's all the blessings of people in our congregation. I mean, when I was in those early days, I would walk in church, and there would be Bob Medina sitting here in church. He seemed to be here in church all the time, Bob Medina. And he was a choir member. And Bob would be here praying constantly. He was a man, I thought, this is a man who is connected to Christ. He inspired me to be more connected to Christ. The first funeral I did was for John's wife, Catalina Rivera. John's back here in the congregation. And Catalina, when I first went to visit her, I was annoying her. She was painting little pictures, beautiful pictures. She is an artist, painting beautiful pictures of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because she said, I want to give these to prisoners in prison so they can have something to pray to, to inspire their life. And so I remember that that inspired me. I said, oh my gosh, you know, our call is to serve, to choose Christ, to choose love, and to call to serve. And I bless you and thank you for bringing me into your life here at Our Lady of the Desert. Amen for my heart. Charlie, but I thought maybe we could limit it.
Reminds me of the scene in Wizard of Oz when Dorothy is locked up with the Wicked Witch. That much time to relinquish her ruby slippers. So I won't be nervous about that. I'm stressed out enough. Well, I didn't know they were giving get out of hell free cards, but I might need a get out of New Orleans free card. I want to say this is a very moving time for me. I'm trying to keep things very low key because that's just the kind of person I am. But I remember when I first came here, I had been away from ministry here with the Redemptorist community for 13 years living in St. Louis. Yes, I've been away. And so this was my re-entrance into ministry and into religious life. And I had never been, I came here cold, I had never been here before. And I remember driving and the landscape getting stranger and stranger. And I would call my mom and I'd say, this looks really strange, you know? And I would stop over and I would take pictures and send them to my friends and say, listen, and when I got here, it was like being on the moon. It was such a strange place. But it was such a wonderful place. And I think that's kind of like how I would like to sum up my 11 years here. Strange and wonderful. I can honestly say that I echo with Father Paul, this place and you all really taught me how to be, first of all, a priest. You really did teach me how to do that. I remember funerals and baptisms, confessions, and just how humbling it is to sit with someone and to have you all trust us. It's like they really don't know me, because if they did, they would never trust me. But how deeply you trusted, and that trust just really did shape and form me. I think the first thing that happened to me here was I began to understand what it meant to be a priest. And I hadn't been a priest for very long before I left. I'd only been a priest for 5 years, so I hadn't really learned that much, but you really did teach me that. But then the second thing that you taught me is you taught me how to be a redemptress. Because I really feel like I'm a priest in order to be a better redemptress, and that my first vocation is to be a redemptress. And you all taught me how to be a redemptress. You really brought me into a close relationship with Jesus, my own Redeemer. And I really see that that's just not something that happens alone. And so I'm so grateful for that. I am so, so grateful for that. And I really began to see how our work here was not something that I was like, Lord priest or your associate pastor. I hid too much from you for that to happen. No, I'm just kidding. But that this was something we did together. That part of being a redemptress is to be in mission. And really, all of us were, I began to experience all in mission together. And that it was together as a community that we were really being a missionary people. What you have done for our renewal center is nothing less than miraculous. It's nothing less than a real witness to the power of Jesus Christ. You might not know it, but the people who come here are touched by your faith, are touched by your trust, are touched by how you have gone through that narrow gate of everything that you have faced. Illness, loss, death, all the things that you have walked through with faith. That faith has planted seeds of contemplation in everyone who's come here. And I began to see about maybe 5 years ago that, oh, I am not your priest. We are missionaries together for the Lord and for the kingdom, touching all these people who come here. And that has really been wonderful for me. You've taught me what it means to be a missionary, something that doesn't come natural to me, but as redemptorists, that is what we are. Today in the readings, we talk about this discipline. And it is a discipline to lose three of your priests at the same time. That's a discipline. I know that's hard. It's hard for me to leave. I don't really want to go. I've been really happy. I've been happy here for 11 years. I don't meet people who have been happy in one place for that long, very rarely. But you've given me 11 years of happiness. 11 years of happiness. When I first got here, people would ask me how it was. I said, it's like Christmas every day. And it still is like that. It's like Christmas every day. So I don't want to leave. But as a missionary people, we are called to have that mission. One thing I'm really excited about, and really excited about going to the New Orleans Institute, is that my superiors have graciously given me permission to do two things. To go to New Orleans to work with gay and lesbians and the queer and transgender community, which I am so astonished and thrilled that I'm able to go to people who have been really rejected and condemned and harmed by our faith and give them another experience of it. The experience that I've had for you. And then also, if there's time, to also seek out people for whom the church or the gospel is not good news, and to be with them. And I feel like this is real missionary work for me. So it is a real privilege, but I'm so excited because I know that I do not do that alone. I bring each and every one of you with me. And that's, I feel really happy about. I just want to thank you so much for your faith, for your trust, for walking not only with us, but with each other, and forming this tremendous community. And it's something that I know that will give life, not only to yourselves and to your family, but will give life to Jesus' church for years and years and years and years and years and years to come. May you all live so long to see it. Thank you.
Well, I guess it is really true that you have to save the best for last. I would have sent you a song request, except the only thing I could think of was We Are the Champions. And in fact, I'm already too audacious enough without that. You know? And so, I want to also thank everybody here because 14 years that I've been here, when I came, I'd only done 3 retreats, but I knew that I wanted to be a retreat director, and I asked our new provincial, who happened to be Tom Bigden, who's across the country, if he would move me here, and he said yes. And so, through these 14 years, I have grown a lot because, number one, I picked up on a lot of the needs that people here had in terms of retreat ministry, in terms of what needed to be addressed, in terms of what needed to be talked about. And I always learn as much from my retreatants as they learn from me. And I always tell my retreatants that, you know what, I don't have any of your answers for you. All of your answers are inside of you. And you have to go inside until you and God, you have to find them together. I just want to reiterate four of the things that were the most important to me in terms of the message I tried to convey to you over the past 14 years. And I mentioned these a couple weeks ago. The first one is love. Love your God, love your neighbor, love yourself. But it has to start with loving yourself. And I just recently saw the movie, Isn't It Romantic? With Rebel Wilson. Has anybody seen that? No?
No.
Oh, well, you have to see that movie, okay, because she plays, I mean, Rebel Wilson, I've never seen any of her movies before, but she's a very big girl, okay? And she's tall at the beginning of the movie, they show her as like 11 years old, and she's watching Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. And her mother comes in and says, forget it. She says, that type of thing doesn't happen to girls like us. And so Rebel's character grows up believing that, you know, she's not really lovable because she can't be like Julia Roberts. And there's a guy she works with in her office who really likes her, but she can't see it because she doesn't love herself. And at the end of the movie, she thinks that her office, there's these two big windows, and one of them, there is a billboard of this beautiful model. And sometimes she catches him glancing her way, but she thinks he's looking at the beautiful model on the billboard. At the end of the movie, he says, here, you sit at my desk, and I'm going to go sit at your desk. And when he sits down at her desk, you can see his reflection on the right side of the glass. He says, all this time, I have been looking at you, in your reflection in the glass, not at the supermodel on the other side. And she couldn't see that because she didn't believe she was lovable. So you have to believe you are lovable. You have to love yourself first in order to truly love your neighbor well and in order to truly love God who created you well. The second thing is that there is so much division in this country that I really hope I got through to you the message of, can we just please agree to disagree? And that means that we learn to listen to each other respectfully without getting into an argument, because there's a difference between a discussion and an argument. An argument is I am right and you are wrong. A discussion is I respectfully listen to you. I may agree with some things you say, I may not. Then you respectfully listen to me. You may agree with some things I say, but you may not. But then we find common ground on the things that we agree on, and at the same time, we learn to agree to disagree on the others and still remain friends. And that's part of being kind. And this world needs so much kindness. And again, that starts with yourself. Because if you're not kind to yourself, if you're always critical of yourself, it's going to be hard for you not to be critical of other people. And not to think about the fact of how broken they may be inside. And the third thing was that, you know, life is a partnership with God. I mean, bad things happen every day, and we have to do our part to help ourselves. And then what we cannot do, we have to turn over to God and allow God to do for us. And the last thing was that, you know, in my new job as communications director for the North American Conference of the Redemptorists, my first mission is going to be to reach out to the younger generations, to the millennials, to the Generation X even, and to Generation Z. And there was a great article in the Jesuit magazine this week on the fact that those younger generations do not feel welcome in the church by baby boomers, which means we baby boomers have a lot of work to do because we need to make them feel welcome. Now, you know, on different Sundays, I've asked people who are under the age of 40 to please stand up. Okay? So, who here today is under the age of 40? Please stand up. I mean, mentally, Father Paul is under the age of 40. I mean, he might be under the age of 4, I'm not sure. But, okay, so, now, who's been asked to bring up the gifts today? Saxons? No. The people who are going to bring up the gifts are the people who, unless there's a special attention today that this person needs to bring up the gifts, The people we're going to bring up against today are the people who are under the age of 40. You know why? Because when I went out to the campus three times and talked to students down there, they told me the same thing. We do not feel welcomed by baby boomers. We feel judged. And so we have to reach out, and they said to me, we want people in the church, we want priests, we want the sacraments, we want them to ask us to do things. And we never do. And so today I'm asking all of those of you who are standing, just help take up the collection. Are there those of you who are standing who are willing to do that? Yes? I'm not hearing anything. Yes? Yes. Alright, oh come on, you can do better than that. Yes?
Yes?
Okay. And I want you to bring up the gifts because I hope that you will work hard at involving these younger people in the parish here and in making them feel included within the parish here. Because that is so important that we reach out to them and that we ask them to do things. And the only other thing that I have is that last night at Santa Catalina, I was not allowed to leave without seeing something. So I was like, oh, Jesus. So I just pulled this off the top of my head. When my life is through and the angels ask me to recall the thrill of it all, and so I really would like a special round of applause for Father Paul.